Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Previously on Transmissions from Colony 1.
I am ordering all personnel to cease communication efforts. And I have agreed a return mission to Earth is in everyone's best interests.
I'm determined it'd be in our best interests to use the 3 emergency return vehicles still here on the Martian surface to launch for Earth.
So launch for Earth?
We're going back?
BEM detected a radiation event on Earth from Eta Carina. Earth was hit by a gamma ray burst.
Gamma ray burst?
We found 64 survivors here at the base. They were all on board the Chinese moon base when the GRB hit on January 1, out of the line of fire. Fedora and I arrived back on Earth 2 weeks ago via the space elevator. The only living creatures we've come across are these 64 men and women. There were concentrations of fallout toxins in the air. We've experienced downpours of acid rain on multiple occasions. The surface temperature is considerably hotter than expected. The ozone layer has been severely decimated. Vegetation is non-existent. Do not come to Earth! Repeat, do not come to Earth!
Colony 1. Amazonas Planitia. Mars. Year 238.
Move away from the coast! Let's not come back here, Sam. You cannot come back here.
Colony 1, this is Fedora Morozov.
Fedora?
You cannot leave Mars. Because we are coming to you.
Whoa.
All of us.
Wait. What did he say?
What? Alive? There's no way. We don't have the urge.
Fine. We're not. We don't have the capability. We have more than enough to do right here.
Space Station Hercules is still online. The Maya rockets for both MechT-3 and MechT-4 are still docked at Hercules.
Huh.
We can use those rockets to blast off for Mars. All of us. Together.
Maybe there are...
That could work, Command.
Absolutely not.
Is that...
So we go to Mars, we land. Then what? What do we do after that?
I don't know. We carve out a niche for ourselves. Figure out a way to survive.
It's impossible for Dor. Out of the question.
Sam, we will head north to MechT headquarters in Nevada shortly, where we will have better communications after we power up the facility, and access to better food and supplies. We can work on a mission plan then.
Dor, this is nonsense. It's ridiculous.
If you're there, Nia, I love you, and I miss you terribly.
Oh, Fedor.
The next time you'll hear from us will be from Mission Control in Tonopah. Edwards AFB, over and out.
Huh. So, this changes things.
Sure as hell does.
He's actually alive.
The return journey is scrapped, then.
Maybe. We need to think of other options.
Meg!
Walter?
That's it!
What are you doing?
MEGs. Had to look all the way ahead to MechT-12's mission plan to find it, but... If we're gonna be staying, and if we're gonna be accommodating over 60 more people, we need to solve the living space issue. We need to achieve sustainability with limited materials.
Not to mention deal with your comet.
Okay, Walter. How do we house 78 people?
I don't know. How to build homes for nearly 80 people. How to successfully bring them from Southern California on Earth all the way down to Amazonas Planitia. How to deal with the comet, and most difficult, how to terraform Mars.
Terraform?
Yeah. If we stay on Mars, we need to terraform the planet. It's a ton of work. Not sure if we'll be able to pull it off, but we need to figure that out soon. At this point, I don't think we have much choice.
Vasily, come with me. We're gonna move Tim and Connor to the observatory for the time being.
What?
To the observatory, sir.
Why not just... We're gonna need as many hands on this mission as we can get. That even means them.
God damn it! What's he doing?
I... Who knows, Nicole?
Now what? Now? We figure out a way to pull off the impossible.
The next time you'll hear from us will be from Mission Control in Tonopah. Edwards AFB, over and out.
Fedora, we're not doing this. Call them back.
They were able to successfully grow crops. There are too many volatile compounds in the air and soil here.
Don't forget the temperature, too.
Earth is much too dangerous, Commander.
We're staying here. We've been through way too much over the past year to abandon everything. And for what reason?
It could work, though.
Colony 1 has been constructed on Mars. A permanent habitat on another planet. Do you know how much work and ingenuity goes into something like Colony 1? When we launched, the crew was as good as dead. Yet they are now living in a fully operational colony with the ability to produce sustenance. If they could do that with limited resources... Commander, have you ever been trained in terraforming? My crew has. Fedor has. I've been trained in terraforming procedures. Hell, some of the people here have some knowledge.
Then why not terraform on Earth?
It doesn't work that way, Commander. Fedor is right. We need to leave for Mars.
This has bad idea written all over it.
If we stay on Earth, we're going to be scrounging around like nomads until we eventually succumb to the toxins we're breathing in each second. We can do better than that. We now have a goal, something to plan for.
I do not like this. Until a better alternative can be found, I'll allow you to go ahead. But our own objectives that I order still stand.
Understood. Fedora and I are going to Tonopah, Nevada tomorrow. We'll power up HQ and begin work on a return journey mission. Anyone who wants to come along, we could use the help.
I don't like this, Omar. I have a bad feeling.
Yeah, me too. But do we have any good options left?
There's 66 people on Earth that need to come back here. We have two Maya rockets docked at Space Station Hercules, operational status unknown. An MMLHV spacecraft was constructed to sustain a 16-person crew in every Maya rocket. The two landers are MechD3 Scorpion and MechD4 Centipede. That's 34 left out.
They'll have to double up in the ships, no way of getting around that.
Right. Two launches, then, with packed spacecraft.
Too much weight. That'll complicate the landing sequence for sure.
What about the Tarantula?
It
should still be in Mars orbit. And other than the faulty release valves, it should be operational, right?
I suppose so, yes. From what I can remember.
Let's include the Tarantula, then. That's a 48-person total capacity.
Two launches and three manned Mars landings with virtually untested, untrained crews. What about supplies? These ships are going to be so packed with humans, there won't be much room for anything else.
Figure it out soon enough.
We'll also need to come up with a plan for this comet. All of this is for shit if we cannot find an effective way to neutralize that damn thing.
We'll figure that out too.
Okay. Walter?
Pete, what you got? Mostly support documents and procedures for MEGs. No real blueprints or anything needed for construction. Once Rachel and Fedora get HQ back online, they can open up the terraforming mission database and send us anything we'll need.
We'll need to figure out a solution soon for transferring a vast amount of supplies for these refineries, if we're serious about this whole endeavor. For the level of power we'll need to match this scale of atmosphere generation, there's no other way to fuel these gigantic electrolysis reactions than with fusion reactor facilities. Those require a lot of supplies to be transferred to Mars.
Okay.
I'm not saying it can't be done, just a lot of kinks to straighten out.
Even if we find some way to transport, we better start repurposing everything we've got here.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, Luke?
Call me a cynic, but I don't see how you can find a supply craft large enough to send everything you need for multiple Meg refineries. The electrolysis chamber's got to be at least 10 times the size of our command center. Every single detail we've brought on Mars will be repurposed for creating these refineries, which will mean dismantling Colony One.
Dismantling?
What do you mean, dismantle?
We need Colony One, Luke.
Dismantle
Luke,
Colony One?
What are you talking about?
Then where would we live? What becomes of us?
If we're going to make these terraforming refineries work, then that is what we will have to do.
Then where shall we live? Where will our homes be?
The print them.
Can you elaborate, Vasily?
Look at this map. Elk here. Ares Vallis, Icus Palace, Cassay Vallis. What do these regions have in common? Sulfur deposits.
Yes, sir.
There is sulfur all over the surface of Mars. Even around here on Amazonas Planitia, we extract the sulfur, heat it into a liquid, mix it with the Martian soil, boom, concrete. We use in-situ materials to create permanent, radiation-resistant structures, even stronger than what we are using in Colony One.
Yes, we'd use the heated sulfur concrete mix as a filament in our construction 3D printers we used for Colony One. It can definitely work. Except you'd need a tremendous amount of heat to get sulfur to a liquid. It's negative 56 Celsius outside. How in the world are you going to keep the filament chamber superheated in an environment like that? We'll figure it out soon enough.
For the final decision on which commander will be going to Mars first. There was a letter of endorsement by a crew member explaining why that commander should be the first to go. I'm trying to remember that part he wrote. To serve under someone like him is beyond honor. Those who he is charged to lead strive to emulate him, leading to complete devotion and determination in seeing the mission through. What exactly is your plan here?
Fuck off, Tim.
No, really. I'm genuinely interested in your mindset.
First, I am going to snap out of these zip ties, get out of this observatory, then I'm going to pick off all the motherfuckers that went against me, one by one. Then, I'll come for you, Tim Conrad. I'll save you for last.
That is an incredible plan. One man whose neck is already under the axe is going to pick off a dozen people who want you dead and expect an attack at any point. Yes, that will obviously work.
Yeah, it will.
Also, you have to take into account these zip ties are construction grade. Only way you're getting out of them is by breaking your wrists to slip out.
Whatever it takes, Tim.
Whatever it takes. Oh, you pathetic.
And they won't expect an attack if they don't know I'm free.
Oh, no. I've got the intercom right here next to me, Connor. You somehow break free from your zip ties, however you do it. I'll make it my business to broadcast the news across all channels. Go ahead, Lieutenant.
Rat me out.
Jesus Christ.
Shut up. Shut up.
You want me to stop? Come on, man. Come on, asshole. Try to shut me up.
The next morning...
Sorry I'm late. I checked in on Paul again. Where we stand?
I'm bringing up the flight plan and NATA schematics now.
The hell is that?
That is the launch vehicle.
The main launch vehicle will be MechD3's Maya rocket. Attached to this will be the Scorpion spacecraft, MechD3's lander.
Huh. Right.
The main body of the launch vehicle will be Space Station Hercules. Walter did some more digging and
found... Wait, Hercules? They're bringing the space station to Mars?
That's our supply craft, yes.
Huh.
All right.
All the docking arms will be detached and secured to the side of the station. On the front will be my rocket and Centipede lander from MechD4. MechD3's rocket will be used as the launch device. Once Rachel gets online at headquarters, we'll be polishing the flight plan you see on the screen. But the close approach window means we're looking at a time-efficient, safe 46-day transit after launch. The Scorpion will house the crew at launch, then they split in half, with half of the refugees moving over to the Centipede during transit, though there will be a steady flow in and out for simulations and the like.
Refugees?
That's what they are, right?
I guess so. Okay, how to land. You're going to have a 66-person crew and a gigantic space station packed with supplies.
70-person crew, not 66.
70?
Almost none of these people have any experience with Mars landing procedures. Rachel and Fedora will train and simulate as best they can, but with the stakes as high as they are, it'd be better if we have more experienced people landing.
What?
We will launch both ERV-2 and ERV-3 to Martian orbit to dock with the Tarantula lander. Walter and Nada in ERV-2, you and I in ERV-3. We'll dock, make necessary repairs, and once the refugees arrive in orbit, we split everyone into 3 ships and use these updated landing sequences. Basically, what I've done is accounted for the additional weight.
In the supplies, that's a lot of tonnage you're going to be dropping through paper-thin skies.
Which means we'll be breaking up the station into its individual modules, and using a combination of different re-entry mechanisms. ERV engines, ERV thrusters, Maya rocket thrusters, parachutes, hypercones, and an MGN.
MGN?
A magnetic guidance network. A grid of magnets perfectly placed in this valley, 330 kilometers to the northwest. We send the capsules down in batches, making sure that adjacent sections of the magnetic grid are not powered at the same time to avoid any interference. During the landing sequence, when the thrusters are burning full, an EM tether descends down from the supply batch, links, and reels the supplies in. The Colony 1 CC here will act as surface mission control, and the CCs in the 3 landing ships will be a base of operations for the supply drop. Batch by batch, we send down capsules of supplies until they're all safely on the surface.
A bit far-fetched, Walter.
Yeah, well, long ago, landing a building-sized spacecraft on Mars sounded ridiculous. Until we did it.
Where are you planning on getting all these entry systems and magnets?
MechD stockpiles at Tonopah. We remove the thruster engines and main boosters from the ERVs to use as landing thrusters. And the magnets? We forge those.
Forge magnets? How so?
Create a controlled magnesium fire.
Controlled magnesium fire.
Then hammer together in situ iron, copper, and nickel deposits and...
Iron, copper, and nickel deposits?
From the Olympus Mons eruption. It's incredibly likely there are deposits in the lava tubes and fissures left from the eruption we can extract and forge into magnets. Perhaps somewhere the wasp went down.
And you're convinced you can do this?
Yes. I'll need help, of course. Running the forge and creating magnets might actually be a good job for Tim to do. If you're still planning on keeping him around.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
On a remote island in frigid Lake Superior, a fabricated creature birthed from the mind of a disturbed genius stalks the very people who created it. Ancestor, by number one New York Times bestselling author Scott Sigler, is a classic tale of science gone horribly wrong. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
What else you guys got?
The Comet. We think we found a potential solution.
Okay.
The South Pole Thermonuclear Array.
The SPTNA. What? Why?
Over 1,100 4-megaton thermonuclear explosives buried in the ice in Planum Austral, ready for detonation as part of MECD's terraforming protocol. Before we eventually detonate the array, I propose we extract 5, maybe 6 bombs, strap them on ERV-4, and send it on a one-way trip to intercept the bastard. If it doesn't destroy the comet, it'll clearly blow it off course.
A thermonuclear intercept.
That's right.
And you're suggesting a drive to the South Pole to get these nukes.
That's the gist of it.
You're serious. All right. I trust you guys. Draw up some more in-depth mission plans.
Transmission from Edwards Air Force Base.
Colony 1, this is Commander Jolene.
You sure this time you got it right?
Yes, Omar.
Go ahead and fire it up.
Solar battery charger test, take 9.
Guess not this time.
Hold on. Give it a minute.
Commander?
Good morning, Rachel. Here's your crew. I have already given out orders, and they're going to meet you with some trucks near the Human Resources Test Center up the road.
Thank you, Commander.
Well, looks like I was right, Omar.
It's working?
It's working.
I'll be damned, Ben. Only took you 9 tries.
Good job, Ben. Your crew should be ready to go within the hour.
Thank you, Commander.
I am highly suspicious of this operation. If anyone gets in any danger, or if anything convinces me to put a stop to this, I will. Anything goes wrong, we are staying put. End of story.
Crystal, we'll call you when we arrive.
Next day, Gemini 2nd, Year 238, Research Laboratory, Colony 1.
No problems with the data dumps. Goodwin's been uploading from HQ.
Nothing to report. Feels nice to finally be back in contact with Earth.
I hear that.
Pete? I'm fine. Stab wound is healing, but Lysa remind me that it's there.
Terraforming protocol.
There are several milestones we'll need to meet in regards to terraforming Mars. The main objective is creating a controllable global warming reaction planet-wide. We need large-scale emissions of greenhouse gases, as well as large-scale injection of both Earth atmosphere and ozone into the Martian skies.
Amongst seemingly endless other needs.
As discussed, MECD's terraforming operations are centered around Mars Ecopoiesis Generators, or MECs, giant atmosphere-creating refineries based on fusion-powered electrolysis reactions. The mechs require an energy input of 490 petawatts in order to create enough atmosphere to vent out and hopefully stay. The amount of fusion reactors we have at our disposal will dictate how many mechs we're able to construct.
MechD had dropped capsules for Colony 1 through 4 before MechD 1 ever launched from Earth. Then there are fusion reactors powering the Tarantula, Scorpion, and Centipede spacecraft.
Don't forget the fusion reactor inside of Space Station Hercules.
That's only 8.
At some point, I'd like to send a recon mission to the ruins of the Wasp. If the Olympus Mons eruption didn't destroy the reactor there, then we've got 9. 8 or 9 meg refineries won't be enough to terraform Mars, but we might be able to bring over enough materials to construct more.
Might being the key word. We're gonna need a lot of supplies.
Good thing Space Station Hercules is larger than 6 aircraft carriers. We should be able to fit more.
Uranius Dorsum, Cassini Crater, Ares Vallis, Tempe Terra. What is this?
Meg sites from MechD's directory. There are also the landing sites for MechD missions 10 through 38. MechD was planning for 28 Meg refineries with a manned crew landing at every site. MechD had planned for these 28 Megs to get the planet terraformed within a century, give or take a decade. It'll be a longer process with less, but if Nicole's intercept mission can bat the comet away, then time is irrelevant here.
Sure.
As far as fuel for these refineries, some of the atmospheric agents we need for the electrolysis reactions can be found here on Mars. Some may require supplementation with supplies from Earth, but the Megs have recycling devices that extract a percentage of the exhausting atmosphere for reuse.
What atmospheric agents will we need to bring back from Earth?
Nitrogen, neon, helium, methane, water vapor, hydrogen, and krypton.
That seems like a lot. Continue, Vasily.
As I was saying, 15% of the generated atmosphere we create in these refineries will be recycled as fuel for further electrolysis reactions. In-situ atmospheric agents include carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, nitrogen, oxygen, and argon.
The MEGs will also perform the task of creating ozone for the breakdown and restructuring of both carbon monoxide and CO2. Our first step will be making a prototype electrolysis chamber so we can begin tests to establish the correct formula for generating Earth atmosphere.
Huh. That's it.
Yeah. There's some answers we're still looking for, like how to deal with decreased gravity and air pressure, but it's a start, at least.
Yeah, I hope so.
Medical Bay, Colony 1, Gemini 3rd, Year 238.
Easy.
Jesus.
It'll be a while before you're running marathons again, Paul.
The wheelchair is fine, Chloe. I'm fine.
In addition to laying out these meg refineries, we also need to consider where all these people will live and their eventual ancestors. The human race never survived by staying in one place and hoping for the best. We need to spread out. To increase our already weak odds at survival, we will need to split up. These meg sites. This is where we'll need to build them.
Build what?
Towns. Each meg facility will have a town printed and constructed around them. Vasily and Luke here are developing a heating element for the construction printers to keep the sulfur concrete filament from freezing. We'll use those printed structures to lay the groundwork for settlements all over Mars.
What do you guys think? Is this doable?
It's a lot of work, but I don't see any issue.
It's very doable, Commander.
What structures do we print in all these Martian towns?
First will come transportation.
I've drawn up a schematic that will attach our smaller grade printers to a few non-pressurized rovers. A It calls for converting the printer into a remote-operated sintering machine, using the regolith on Mars as a filament to pave roads between settlements. It's a slow process, but it can run in the background while we work on other objectives.
The ability to get from one town to the other with ease is key, so...
All right.
Meanwhile, we will begin printing operations for these settlements. Our designs call for laying out ECLSS infrastructure and greenhouses using printed ice and gel filaments. Then will come the Meg refinery itself, followed by the fusion reactor, electrical and comms facilities, hospital, residential, school, supply depots, so on and so forth.
A town, basically. How long until you have these printers ready to go, Luke?
Less than a month.
Sounds promising.
Look at these residential structures. Each building will be created to house 200 individuals. And as the situation requires it, we'll build even more. We're planning for an entire race of humans here, and so we need a longer-term plan. Which will lead to diversity. For the past few weeks, I've been designing the framework for a population protocol for Mars. Of course, I've needed to update it based on recent revelations.
Let's hear it.
Planned pregnancies are not permitted until specific prerequisites are met. A town has to be fully constructed and at full power. Two rounds of crops harvested in the town's greenhouse, ECLSS at full strength, Meg refineries fully operational.
So what you're saying is, not for some time.
Right, not for a while. But if we're going to have babies on Mars with the intention of raising them into adults, this is how you make it happen.
Fair enough. In the event of an unexpected pregnancy, abortions are left to the discretion of the parents. Yet if a child is carried to term, the potential mother's EVA abilities shall be revoked until the child reaches 1 year old.
Unless it's an emergency. No pregnant mothers can go outside and be subjected to the surface radiation until the child is already born and healthy. During that time, they will perform administrative and support duties within the town. Common sense as I see it.
Uh-huh. Artificial insemination protocol?
Right. All of us will need to donate samples of DNA, egg, and sperm. Unfortunately, that even includes Tim and Connor. This is how we promote genetic diversity.
Lovely. Every hospital in every town shall contain a frozen vault containing 50 individual samples of each human in each vault, and 50 mixed samples per vault.
And in the planned 28 sites we're eyeing, that results to 1,428 samples per human, and over 112 total samples per town.
That's, diverse.
And it could be enhanced even more.
What do you mean?
Well, there is likely still intact genetic material in the bodies of those we've buried outside the colony.
What? Chloe, please do not be suggesting what I think you're suggesting.
It's an awful request, but it will increase our chances exponentially. Orlando and Jennifer's bodies also likely retain some genetic material I can use.
Aha. Uh-huh. Hell, I'm giving the go-ahead for a 5,500-kilometer nuke extraction EVA to the South Pole. Whatever you need, Chloe.
Understand, I'm not making this request lightly.
Of course not. Desperate times. Continue.
Once the towns are up and running, we'll hold a lottery. One woman, once a year, one per town, will be randomly selected for artificial insemination. If she has a romantic partner, she will obviously not be subjected to an artificial insemination. I know this seems cruel, but expanding our population is mandatory.
Yeah. Desperate times.
One woman, once a year, will be randomly selected. A mandatory lottery for forced births.
Mm-hmm.
My God. It appears that way. Oof.
I understand the why. You need an organized, safe plan for building up the population, including everything else. If it's necessary, then I guess it needs to happen.
Jesus.
I guess we trust that they know what they're doing and that they wouldn't go down this road unless it was absolutely paramount. Better be worth it.
Great. What are the refugees on Earth up to today?
I spoke with Jane Goodwin at headquarters. They're compiling a master supply inventory that they'll draw from to load up into Space Station Hercules. Commander Lee and her crew should have their two solo cargo jets ready for takeoff soon. Once they're up and running, I've directed them to visit three facilities with seed samples we'll need. The Millennium Seed Bank in West Sussex, the Global Seed Vault on Svalbard Island in Norway, and the World Vegetable Center in Taiwan. Most of the supplies can be allocated from MECD stockpiles in Nevada, but we need a varied selection of crops to grow with seeds that are in sealed vaults underground that have likely been spared by the GRB.
Got it. Genetic diversity. Let's get everyone together in the CC.
Captain Wen, call Commander Lee. Let her know we have arrived and we are headed to the fusion reactors now.
Commander Lee, this is Captain Mei Wen. We've made it safely to headquarters and are heading to the fusion reactor to get the power back on.
It's weird being back here after so long. After so much has happened.
We need to get the fusion reactors repaired and restarted. Once we've restored power, we need to get our comms back up and running, and then begin a supply inventory.
You are on speaker, Commander Lee.
Captain Yoshida? Rachel?
Yes, Commander?
I spoke with Walter Lansden to get more information. The close approach launch window will be arriving in 49 days.
49 days?
49 days, Commander? That's it?
Confirmed. 49 days. That's less than 2 months away. And the launch window will only be open for 2 weeks maximum. So...
They said 49 days, then we have 49 days. Acknowledge, Commander. Thank you. Headed for the fusion reactor.
Commander.
49 days. Jesus.
Yes, Commander.
Come on, let's go.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.